Amen. Well, turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 24. In just a few moments, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 18 of the chapter, and with the help of the Lord, be reading through verse number 22. This beautiful young lady that I'm blessed to sit beside this morning is my wife, and I tell folks everywhere we go that we got married many years ago, for better or for worse. I couldn't do any better, and she couldn't do any worse. Amen. I'm so honored that she's with me this week, and I'm honored to be here. Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity to stand in your pulpit. I do not take that lightly, neither do I take it for granted, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the warm welcome. And I know I speak for all of the missionaries here this morning. You have gone out of your way, even before the meeting started, to let us know you were looking forward to having us and being a part of this meeting. And then to get to the very comfortable room you graciously provided. And then the gift basket there with the monogram towels. Hey, it isn't often you get to use a towel with your name on it. Wow. I usually use towels that say Holiday Inn on them. But to have my own monogram name, listen, that's just above and beyond. And then the wonderful meal last night, the expense money, the offering, you've just already gone out of your way to be so kind. And then what a blessing to have been here this morning in the service. Brother Dice, so good to see you. Listen, I told the pastor last night we were eating together, and I said, when you support Brother Dice, you get a lot of bang for your missionary buck. I have been there in his church. I have seen firsthand. We have gone soul winning together. I've preached in the church, and boy, he's the real deal. I guarantee. Now, Brother Dice, is that everything you wanted me to say? All right. Well, it's so good to see our friends, the Dices, here today. You can give me that money after the service. Amen. On the way out today, if you'll be so kind as to come by our table, I want to encourage you to pick up Macedonia's latest Focus on the Field magazine. These are absolutely free of charge, and if we run out of the ones on the table, I've got some more in the van. Please pick one up, and that will allow you to become more acquainted with what God has called me and Miss Cassie to do for our now some 123 missionary families around the world. And please pray for us. Also, if you'll be so kind as to pick up a prayer card on the way out, we certainly would appreciate your prayers. We're asking people to pray everywhere we go for two things. First of all, please help us pray for safety on the roads. I don't know if you've spent any time on the roads lately, but people have lost their minds. And we're praying not only for our safety, but for our missionary safety. The Godfreys were involved in a very serious car accident just a few days ago. So please help us pray for safety. And then we're praying for laborers. You know, Jesus had one prayer request. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he might send forth laborers into his harvest. We're praying that God would reach right here at the Fellowship Baptist Church and call out some workers so we can reach the world with the gospel more effectively in the days to come. So please come by our table. We look forward to meeting you personally. We have a special gift for everyone 12 years of age and under. If you'll come see Miss Cassie at the table, she'll give you those gifts. Make sure to see her after the service. If you found your place in Deuteronomy chapter 24, and if you're able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? We'll read the text and then consider the context of the verses throughout the introduction of the message this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 18, the Bible says, "But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. Now, we're going to be using our Bibles this morning. I trust, therefore, you'll leave them handy throughout the course of the message this morning. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, I love you today. Oh, I'm so appreciative for the service thus far. My, how I stand in awe of how these folks have used their talents today to bless us through song and through music. Thank you for how you've led the pastor and Brother David in organizing this great, great missions revival. Now, Father, I pray again, as Cassie and I have prayed before, that it would be just that, a missions revival. Help me, I pray, I'm nothing without you. Cleanse me of sin and self and fill me with thy precious Holy Spirit. And I'll give you glory, for truly thou art worthy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. Let me once again call your attention, if I may, to verse number 18 of our text, as this single verse of Scripture will be used as the key text of the message that God has laid on my heart this Sunday morning service. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 18, "But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing." With the help of the Lord this morning, I felt impressed of the Lord to lift out the first four words of this single verse of Scripture and use those four words as the title of my message. Those four words are simply, "But thou shalt remember." Now I want to back up and say those words again and encourage each of you, if you would please, would you say the words audibly with me? I'm trusting the Lord would get those four words beyond our heads this morning to the point that they find a lodging place in each of our hearts. Let's say those four words together, shall we? "But thou shalt remember." I believe when you and I study this book of the Bible, you'll discover the name of the book actually explains the purpose of God inspiring its writing to begin with. You see, by the time the Lord used Moses to pen this book before us, that first generation of Israelites who were initially delivered out of the bondage of Egypt's land, with of course the exception of Joshua and Caleb, had passed away. And therefore, there was a great need to remind that second generation of Israelites of the law of God as it had been delivered to God's people through the ministry of Moses. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what the book of Deuteronomy does. The book of Deuteronomy is simply the record of Moses rehearsing the law for the sake of that second generation of Israelites who at the time of Moses' writing had known nothing but wilderness wandering. That's why the name Deuteronomy has been given to this book of the Old Testament of the Bible. It is a name that simply means second law. This book is simply the record of Moses sharing the law of God with the people of God a second time. And therefore, all throughout the chapters that go to make up this book of the Old Testament of the Bible, there is a constant challenge to remember. In fact, I like what one Bible commentator insightfully stated about the book of Deuteronomy, about the book of Second Law, when he said, "Reading through the book of Deuteronomy is sort of like taking a walk down memory lane. There is a constant challenge all throughout the book to remember." For instance, Deuteronomy chapter number 5, first portion of verse 15 says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 18 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt." Why, here in the very chapter in which the Lord has led us this morning, if you'll look in verse number 9 of the chapter, here God said to its people through the ministry of Moses, "Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way after that you were come forth out of Egypt." And so yes, over and over and over again, all throughout the verses, all throughout the chapters that go to make up this great book of the Old Testament of the Bible, there is a constant challenge to remember. And of course, those of you that are here this morning that are made of the same stuff I'm made out of know that that's sometimes easy preaching and hard living. I don't know how it is with you, but as I get older, the more issues I am beginning to have, Pastor, remembering things. Sometimes, Brother Dice, I will walk into a room and forget why that, and I see some heads shaking. I'm feeling better about myself already as the service goes on. I'll walk into a room and forget why that I walked in, and then I'll walk out of the room and walk back in again, hoping that it'll trigger something up here to remind me of why that I walked into the room to begin with. That sort of reminds me of the two friends. They hadn't seen each other in years, and they had gone downtown and their wives were shopping, and they happened to see each other as they passed by at the street corner, and they began to strike up a conversation with each other. One of them said to the other, he said, "You know, John, I'm telling you, I have finally found a doctor that has been able to help me with my memory loss." And immediately, John, he had his buddy's attention because he was having the same issues with forgetting. And he said, "Really? Well, if this doctor has helped you with your memory loss, maybe he can help me with my memory loss. What is your doctor's name?" And his buddy thought. And his buddy thought, he said, "Wait just a minute, I'm telling you, his name's right on the tip of my tongue here." And about that time, his wife come up and stood beside him. And he said, "Let me ask you a question, John. What's the name of that flower that's got a long stem with thorns on it?" And his buddy said, "Oh, are you talking about a rose?" And he turned to his wife who was standing beside of him and he said, "Hey, Rose, what's the name of that doctor? Can you remember his name?" I can. Now that old boy, that old boy had issues remembering. You want to know why? Because we have problems remembering from time to time. Well, that was the case with this second generation of Israelites that God was using Moses to minister to. In fact, I've always found it interesting here in Deuteronomy chapter 24, God's people were not only encouraged and in fact admonished to remember, but here in Deuteronomy chapter 24, they were admonished to remember three very specific things. Can I call your attention, if I may, to those three things God's people were encouraged to remember in the text? First of all, they were encouraged to remember their ruin. Can I show it to you? Look, if you would please, in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 18. God says to his people, "But thou shalt remember." Remember what, Lord? What is it that you would have us to never forget? He answers in verse 18, "That thou wast a bondman in Egypt." God's people, number one, were encouraged to remember their ruin. I mean, when you study the context of this chapter, it's almost as if Moses is saying, hey, folks, here is the law of God. This is what thus saith the Lord. And here's why you ought to not only be hearers, but doers of his word. Because there was a day in your forefathers' past when Israel was nothing more than slaves. A bondman, that is the word that was inspired in the text before us, and it actually means a slave. It has primary reference to one that is held in captivity. And so Moses is reminding God's people here, there was a time in their forefathers' past when they were held captive by the enemy. They had been bondmen. Listen, they possessed within themselves no power to deliver themselves, no strength to set themselves free. God's people were encouraged to remember their ruin. And as I hasten to make application this morning, can I say, child of God, sometimes I believe it would do each and every one of us good to take a walk down memory lane and remember our ruin. Now, I'm not talking about remembering specific sins, thank God, that God has forgiven and forgotten, but I am talking about remembering where we were when Jesus came to us. And when his hand reached further, if I wasn't so dignified this morning, I believe I'd shout a little while. Amen. Because you see, I remember where I was. If anybody could have gotten to heaven being a good little boy, I was well on my way. I tell folks everywhere I go, when I was a little fella, I had a serious drug problem. My mom and daddy drugged me to church every time the doors were open. But it was a great day in my life when the Holy Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, removed the blinders from my eyes, and I saw myself lost. I saw myself a bondman and slave, had no power to deliver myself from the sin that I inherited from my forefather Adam. Sometimes I believe it would do us good to remember our ruin. I'm just going to be honest with you. From the very first service of your missions revival, I believe one of the reasons why there are so many dead, dull, dry, discouraging, despondent, independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist churches today, because some way or another we've got over it. I got news for you. I've never gotten over being saved. I'm thrilled to be on my way to heaven. I'm glad I'm saved. And every now and then, I like to take a walk down memory lane and remember where I was when the Lord came to me in the person of the sweet Holy Spirit of God, brought me under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction and revealed to me my need of a Savior. Do you remember your ruin? Boy, I do. God's people were admonished to remember their ruin. But God did not leave his people in their ruin. The same God that admonished his people to remember their ruin is the same God that admonished his people, secondly, to remember their redemption. Can I prove it to you? Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. That's our ruin. And, watch your Bible now, the Lord thy God, somebody say that next word for me, redeemed thee thence. And so Moses here not only encourages the people of God to remember their ruin, but he reminds them then, as God reminds us this morning, he did not leave his people in their ruin. The same God that brought them out of their ruin redeemed them as well. In fact, there are two words that I want to call your attention to in verse 18. It would be the word bondman and the word redeemed. One word, bondman, deals with a problem, while the other word, redeemed, deals with a price that was paid in order to deliver Israel from the problem. One word, bondman, deals with being detained, while the other word, redeemed, deals with being delivered. One word, bondman, deals with being held captive as a sinner, while the other word, redeemed, deals with being set free from sin. Oh, the God of glory redeemed the nation of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt's land, and he did it by the shed blood of sacrifice. And did you know when you study the Word of God, not one time in this Bible, did God instruct us how many times a month, how many times a quarter, how many times a year to observe the Lord's table? But he did say this, as oft as you do it. You remember what he said? This do in what? Remembrance of me. Listen, child of God, you and I should never, never, never forget. Salvation is free, but it certainly isn't cheap. It costs Christ's blood on the cross. And only through that blood do you and I, who are ruined in sin, have hope of redemption. We should never, never, never forget it. But there's one other thing. One other thing here in these verses of Scripture that God admonished His people to never, never forget. And I've always found it interesting, Pastor Freeman, that God spends more time on this last point of His message here in the latter portion of Deuteronomy chapter 24, than he even did our redemption from our ruin. I wonder what it could be. What is it that God would have us to never, never forget? Let's allow the Bible to answer that question this morning. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 18, "But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt." That's our ruin. "And the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence." That's our redemption. "Therefore." I love the wherefores and the therefores of the Word of God. The word "therefore" here is a connecting word, which simply means in light of what's just been said. That is to say, since you've been redeemed from your ruin, God says to Israel here, "Therefore, I command thee." This isn't a suggestion to be ignored. It is a command to be obeyed. "Therefore, since you've been redeemed from your ruin, I command thee to do this thing." Verse 19. "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands." Can I echo what Brother Dice said during his Sunday school lesson this morning? How many of you agree with me when I say whenever God mentions something one time in this Bible, it's worthy of our consideration? Would you say amen to that? I mean, after all, this book that I hold in my hand is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, impeccable, indestructible Word of the living God of glory. Other books were written for our information, but this book was written for our transformation. And if God said something just one time, it's worthy of our attention. Amen? Amen. But wait a minute. What if God says something over and over and over again? Would you get the idea that God wanted to drive a point home? Well, when you study the latter portion of Deuteronomy 24, you'll discover that God drives a point home here. I just read what God said in verse 19. Now notice what he says in verse 20. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And by the way, just in case you've missed verses 19 and 20, look at verse 21. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Three times in three verses of Scripture, God says virtually the same thing. Do you know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. This is what this week is all about. Don't miss it. Now that you've been redeemed from your ruin, never, never, never forget. You now have a responsibility to make a difference in the lives of others. Now, time would not allow me to give you the literal interpretation of these verses of Scripture as they apply to the nation of Israel. But suffice it to say, there is a literal interpretation of the text as the text applies to the nation of Israel. But God didn't include these verses of Scripture in our Bibles today just to take up space. Just as sure as there is a literal interpretation for the nation of Israel, there is a scriptural application for those of us that have been redeemed from our ruin today. And here it is. Again, it's what this week is all about. Here's the application. Don't miss it. Now that you've been redeemed from your ruin, never, never, never forget that you have a responsibility. Since you've been redeemed, to reach out to those who have yet to be redeemed. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That isn't a suggestion to be ignored. It is a command to be obeyed. And Jesus said in the gospel of John, chapter number 14 and verse 15, if ye love me, do much more than just sing, oh, how I love Jesus, because quite frankly, talk is really cheap. Jesus said, if ye love me, you remember what he said? Keep my commandments. I rejoice that your thirst has been quenched this morning. But since your thirst has been quenched, you should never, never, never forget there are millions of others around the world that are still thirsty for he that said, I am the water of life. I rejoice that your spiritual hunger has been fed the day that you were redeemed from your ruin. But God sent me here to tell you this morning, we should never, never, never forget. We should never lose sight of the fact that as we meet for service this morning here in Madison, Virginia, there are multitudes of other people around the world that are still hungry for he that said, I am the bread of life. My prayer this morning is that God would help us to remember. Do you want to know why you're saved this morning? I guarantee you, I know why. The power of the gospel changed your life. Do you want to know how you heard the gospel? Somewhere, some way, somehow, somebody remembered their responsibility. Oh, I can think about the Sunday school teachers when I was a little boy that remembered their responsibility. Why is it that God would lead a family to Portland, Oregon? Why is it that God would lead a family like Brother Ray Godfrey
and his family to the state of Idaho. Why would God touch Brother Dice's heart and lead him to one of the largest, I think it's the largest city in the United States of America? Why would God lead this couple who's so talented with the Spanish language to reach Hispanics with the gospel? I'll tell you why. They somewhere along the way have remembered their responsibility. And whether you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years, this isn't a message just for the preachers in the building. It isn't a message just for the deacons or the Sunday school teachers or Brother David, the missions director. It's a message for every single one of God's children. There is someone that only you can reach with the gospel. There is some life that only you can touch with the gospel. My prayer this week is that you and me would remember our responsibility. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me? Oh, my Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for how you've met with us this morning. And Father, I pray right now as our musicians come and begin to play that you would deal with our hearts this very first service of missions revival here at the Fellowship Baptist Church. Oh God, help us this first service to take that walk down memory lane and remember where we were when you came to us and delivered us from our ruin. Lord, you have reminded us this morning through the preaching of thy precious word that salvation may be free, but it certainly isn't cheap. And you paid it all on the cross of Calvary so we could be redeemed from our ruin. And we're so appreciative. But Lord, this week is all about remembering our responsibility, having been redeemed from our ruin. Lord, no one in here needs a missions revival more than I do. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for admonishing me through the pages of thy precious word this morning to remember I have a responsibility to make a difference in the lives of others. Do much more than challenge us this week. Change us, my Father, that we may be more like Thee. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Some folks have already come to pray. What a blessing. Now, maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've actually thought in your heart throughout the course of this service, you know, there's no way I could have a greater burden to reach the world with the gospel than the burden I have right now. Maybe you're here this morning and, I don't know, maybe you could honestly say, Brother Caudle, there's no way I could love my Bible more than I love my Bible. There's no way I could have a more faithful, fervent, fruitful prayer life than the prayer life I have right now. And boy, if that's really the case in your life, I praise the Lord for that. But I dare say most of us in this auditorium this morning are just like me. I could have a greater burden. I could have a more faithful, fervent, fruitful prayer life. I could love my Bible more. Do you know what I need this week? I'll tell you what I need. I probably need the same thing that you need. A real missions revival. As we stand to our feet all over the building, Pastor Freeman is coming and he's going to conclude the service as he sees fit. But I just wonder if there are others that feel impressed of the Lord to step out from where you're standing right now and make a trip to this altar, this first service, and say, Lord, I need you to do something in my heart this week. Have you prayed about your faith promise for the coming year? Maybe, boy, great time to do that would be right now. Right now. Folks are coming. Folks are moving this morning. The pastor's coming to lead us as we follow his faith this week. Let's trust God together for great things.